Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and today we are going country with country music artist Craig Wayne Boyd. This guy has the most soulful voice, and what powerful performances. His new album is called Tidbits, and here's a few tidbits about Craig. He's the father of five children who love to sing, too, and the family has taken the band on the road named Boyd's R Us. He has one rescue dog, Murphy, and he loves animals, especially horses. He grew up in Texas riding them since he was a little boy. And like myself, he's also an ambassador for Horses for Mental Health, which is the most wonderful organization. I'd like to note that this year alone, Horses for Mental Health has raised over $1.4 million for nonprofits around the country, incorporating horses into their mental health programs. And I know this is something very near and dear to Craig's heart. So when we come back, we're going to meet and hopefully hear a little singing from country crooner Craig Wayne Boyd. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and so excited to introduce you to our very special guest, country music artist known for his soulful voice and powerful performances, winner of season 7 of NBC's The Voice with Blake Shelton's team. And he is so amazing. And so sorry you can't see him because he's awfully cute. Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Wayne Boyd. Craig, so great to have you here.
Wow, what a buildup, and you're making me blush already.
Well, listen, love your voice and love the way you look. And I'm so excited that you're here today because we have so much in common. Not only do we love great music and you make it, but you are such a huge animal advocate, especially when it comes to horses. And you're involved with the Horses for Mental Health campaign. I got involved with them from the very beginning. And we know firsthand what these steeds in need do for us and our souls, don't they?
Absolutely. I grew up with horses myself as a young kid. I remember getting bucked off my little Shetland pony, Coco, many a time. He was more stubborn than I was, I believe, but or maybe not because I kept getting on back on him. But and then throughout the years, when I first moved out to Nashville, I brought out horses with me. I had a property out to on the outskirts of town, and I had my horses out there. And it was just to get away from everyone else. I'd hop on the horse and go off trail riding for hours on end. And that's I actually wrote a lot of songs on the back of a horse.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, if you say that, you're going to tempt me. I'm going to get a little sample of something. Anything you want to share and sing with us now? I want to hear something about a horse. I would love it.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't prepared for that. I don't even have I have a guitar on the wall behind me, but it's probably not in tune at the moment. But it is something that I got involved with Chantel's company. She was putting on a songwriter night.
You're talking about Chantal Klinger, our mutual pal, who I first met when I was on Oprah, and she was my producer, and she introduced both of us to this incredible horse campaign.
Absolutely. I found out that they were dealing with the horses and stuff, and it was such a beautiful experience that I had there that I wanted to be more involved, and hopefully we'll get to actually go out and experience the horseback riding with the folks that she's helping.
And hopefully we can get you to sing one of those songs. People would love that because the campaign Horses for Mental Health, which goes all year long, and it starts out, kicks off as seen through horses, and then continues on. I know what my horses have done for me therapeutically, emotionally, physically. They just
really soothe our souls.
It's just a great experience. My dad has all his horses. It's fun. I think we shared some of the pictures with you guys of the kiddos are now good. I have five. I had to move the horses back out to Texas because having five children and being in a smaller area, it was harder for me to get out to take care of them. So we moved them back to Texas with my dad's at my dad's ranch. So the kids get to go out there and hang out with them. It's so much fun.
So let me understand the menagerie. You're the dad to five wonderful children. How many animals in the household now are surrounding you at all times?
I have my aquarium. I have five children. And then we just recently in January rescued he's a doodle. He is a Brittany doodle, or a Brittany poo, I guess is what they call him. The family that had him was not able to, were going through a bad split up, and they didn't feel comfortable in keeping the dog. So he has joined our family, and he's going for his first haircut tomorrow. I'm excited.
I love it. You know, I just went through that. I rescued a Labradoodle. I said, I have my own new breed of doodle. She's a Whack-a-Doodle. She is really out there. I call her Whitney the Poodle. And we gave her, now it's her second big haircut. Oh, my goodness. I mean, she had really never knew love or affection or attention. Nobody's hands were on her in a kind way. She was in a hoarding situation. So for her first haircut, she said, what the heck is going on here? She was really frightened, and we had to shave her down. And it was quite the experience, because I know the dogs I rescue. I just rescued a 14-plus blind, deaf little doxy with many, many issues. And he's the most amazing dog in the world. But many of these rescue dogs, as I'm sure you know, they haven't known the love and compassion of a kind human being.
That is true. There's a lot of people out there like that. I experienced that nightly playing shows, and it's not only do horses and animals themselves heal people, but music heals people, and that's also a very big part of my journey and what I feel like I was put on earth to do.
Well, your voice is incredible, and you know, listening to your music, you just go into a trance. It's absolutely beautiful, and to come in and do what you did on The Voice on Blake Shelton's team, no doubt. Wow. Let's talk about the competition, because I've interviewed over the years, because country music is my favorite, I have to tell you. And I'm from Motown, by the way. I love Motown music too, but I absolutely adore country music. Talk about the competition and trying to really make your mark in today's world. When you watch these shows, there is so much darn talent out there.
You know, there really is. I did not, in fact, stepping into the program myself, I didn't know where I was sitting at. I showed up there pretty beat up. The industry had chewed me up and spit me out a couple of times there in a row. And I didn't know up from down at that point. And interestingly enough, it was a healing process for me to allow myself to learn to be vulnerable again. I walked in there and I knew that I had one opportunity to be on this show, and that was it, you know. And I could go in there jaded, which I had been, and think that I had, you know, hey, I've been through this, I've done that. But I really walked in there with a humble attitude and a humble spirit and was there to learn. And I believe that that is what got me through.
Wow. And, you know, to do as well as you did, that says everything about you and your talent. Because look at what's on the stage. Any given night on these shows, you say, wow, there's so much talent out there. The competition is truly daunting and unbelievable.
For me, the competition wasn't really with the other folks. It was more with myself and my own mind. It was, you know, whether I could go out and just focus on doing my best and not, because everyone is different. You know, every artist is different. One guy may be able to do some crazy vocal licks and sing through the raptors. Somebody may be able to hold a note forever. Other people have, you know, inflections in their voices that bring out passion. And I just focused on what was my forte and then let the cards fall like they may.
And what do you think it is about your forte that sets you apart?
I learned at a young age that I had the ability to draw people in with my voice. And I think that's, I really focused on that and being relatable, being able to tell a story. There's different people. I mean, I'm also a songwriter, so I write a lot of songs, but I've always looked at myself more as an interpreter of music to be able to convey the story as it was written, or at least my interpretation thereof.
And, you know, it seems today you really do have to be a triple threat. You not only have to be a great singer, you have to be a great songwriter, and you have to be a great guitar player. Like, literally, you have to do it all to really make your mark.
Yeah, and it's funny. A lot of you, even now, is becoming even... You look like you sound good, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, you have such a great voice. And for you, what do you strive for? And we're going to talk about your new album, Tidbits, in a moment. But what is it? How do you set goals for yourself and say, okay, that was a good song, but next time I can do better? You know, you're only as good as your last song. So where do you go from here, and what sort of goals do you keep setting for yourself to set you apart?
For me, I just want to continue to progress. I feel like you just mentioned my newest album, Tidbits. That album is... The word tidbits is different or strange, I guess, in and of itself, but it came from a gentleman that I met when I was, well, evidently he knew me most of my life, but I didn't really get to know him very well until I was around 15 or 16 years old. He gave me my first job at a music store, incidentally, and my parents were going through a divorce. I was trying to figure out life. You know, you're becoming a young man, and life is weird, especially when you don't have your dad or around as much as maybe you would like. And he said, Craig, you know, life is just a bunch of tidbits. It's what you do with them that matter. You can use them as stepping stones, or you can use them as stumbling blocks. It's up to you to make that decision. And to me, tidbits, I looked it up, and it is a snippet of good or positive news. So this album is those stories. It's the songs that I wrote about those moments in my life that have been instrumental or impactful is probably the word that I could use. One of the songs, One Line Away, is about the moment right before I asked my wife to marry me, and knowing that it's only, you're just one line away from making her yours forever. And then I have a song on there called Someday, and it's the advice to my kids about not trying to grow up too fast. You know, someday it will be here before you know it. There's another one, incidentally, even though my father, we were kind of estranged there for a short time, he's also one of the hardest working guys that I know. And so I have a song on there called Blood, Sweat, and Beer. And it sounds like it's a party song, but if you listen to the lyrics of it, the first verse is like, I was raised by the callous hands of a working man, and that's why I am the way I am. And the way I am has never done me wrong. It's really about the hard work, and you can play hard, but you probably need to work harder. My favorite song on the album, I know I'm just kind of doing a rundown of the song.
No, I love it.
I mean, explaining why it's Tidbits. One of the songs is called Gospel of the South. And I wrote that, incidentally, kind of like you're doing right now, traveling. I was driving down the road and I was flipping through radio stations. And I had a little Chevy pickup truck that only had an AM radio in it. So that's about all I had. And I come across a radio preacher, and yeah, I stayed on the channel for a bit. And it really took me back to my roots of growing up and hearing that hellfire and brimstone preachers going on, and how, even though it may not be something that I follow to a T anymore, but it is something that is foundational in every one of our lives, how we have those foundational roots of the gospel of the South.
So every one of these songs are really pieces of your life and your heart.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what a successful song should be. Think about it. When it means so much to you because it's all about you, then you can sing it with the soulfulness and the intensity so people can really understand what it means to you.
I had spent a lot of time in my earlier career. I've been putting out albums of my own since the early 2000s. I've been a full-time musician since I was 19 years old, back in the... I spent a lot of that time being the honky-tonker hanging from the rafters, being the guy that's the life of the party. And I've found myself having five kids now that I really wanted to express more in depth of who I am as a person and explain that a little more through song.
And you're doing it. Now, you know, come on, you've teased us so much. I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm just looking at that guitar right over your shoulder. What does it take, Craig, just to give us a little bit to sing us off with?
I bet I can make that happen. If you give me 2 seconds, I can make it happen.
Not too much pressure, huh? Take your time. Ladies and gentlemen, he's walking over to the guitar now. Wait, I don't see him. Did he leave the interview? He probably said, exit stage left. We're waiting. Maybe he's taking time to get another guitar. Hang on. The anticipation is killing me. There we go. Oh, grabbing it off the wall. You're my hero, Craig.
Here we go. I'll play the song I was just talking about, Gospel of the South, for you.
Okay, perfect.
I was going home. I was going through Memphis. I heard a preacher do all the Pentecostal radio. And he talked like by. He talked like thunder. Then talked to me. I got lost my eyes. It's been even years. It's been miles. I can feel it now. He said, runs through me like the Mississippi. And it turns me like a weathered vane. And it walks me down like gravel wood to feel Celtic songs of hold my brainless lane. There's a song, sweet meat bent. I can hear it now. It's the gospel of the South. I remember in an old farmhouse, rusted board out in the backyard. And I had asked my grandpa, how come it never rains? How come this corral is so dang up? He said, boy, it's the good Lord's will. And then he wiped his drop. Yeah, it runs through me like the Mississippi. And it turns me like a weather vane. And it points me down that rabble road to a field of tilted stone of all my friend's name. And their song, sweet village, I can't hear it now. Gospel of the South, that house is gone. Did I see a young bullet in a shirt and tie, dressed up for revival? The back of my daddy's truck, full of empty beer cans, but in my mama's hand, a beat up Bible. They put me down. That muddy water, I can chase it in my cow. Yeah, it runs through me like the Mississippi, and it turns me deep, walk with the rain. And it points me down that gravel road where I left my sins in a shallow grave. If there's a song, sweet tension, and I can feel it now. Gospel of the South, amazing grace, how was the South.
Ah, wow. I can't believe I got a one-on-one concert, Craig. That was incredible.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. That song was just amazing. And for everybody out there listening, go run and get Tidbits right away. What an incredible voice you have. I feel so honored to get firsthand song right from you, Craig, and continue your work for all our animals in need, especially the horses that need you so much.
Absolutely. I can't wait to, I think next week I get to get out and go riding again. So it's going to be a blast.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all about that. We're going to catch up with you again. Craig, thank you for everything. And we hope you enjoyed that free, amazing concert from Craig, because you'll never get it anywhere else but on Rappaport to the Rescue. Now hold your horses, because we have more as we check in with our cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs, when we come back.
Spanning the planets. Spanning the planets. You've landed at the Pet Entertainment Center of the Universe. Alert the paparazzi. This is Pet Life Radio, the ultimate animal adventure. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs, founder of the Give Them 10 movement.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. It's that time of the show again. We're going to do 5 minutes of cat chat with my favorite cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs. Deborah, great to see you and wonderful to check in. What's happening in the cat world, Deborah?
I am so happy to be here to talk about cats with you today. And you know what? November is Mental Health Awareness Month. So let's talk about animals, in my case, cats, and mental health.
Yes. And you were saying in the past when I've interviewed you how therapeutic cats can be, especially now, right, Deborah?
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting. I've read a lot of statistics, and the ones that I find the most compelling. Did you know, Jill, that if you have a cat in your home, you are actually 30% less likely to die from a heart attack? Who knew?
Even though I'm allergic, I'm going to go rescue a cat.
Go rescue a cat. And I've also learned that, I mean, this is kind of intuitive. If you're petting a cat, your serotonin and dopamine levels go up and your heart rate goes down. That produces a super happy human. I love that one.
Right. Your blood pressure can actually go down just by stroking.
Absolutely.
The wonderful soft kitten or cat next to you. And let's talk about the holidays. You know, coming up, we've got Thanksgiving and then, of course, Christmas and New Year's. This is a time where we're all in the mood to give. But how do you feel, Deborah, about getting a kitten or a cat, hopefully a cat, because you know me, I'm all about the seniors, during holiday time?
Well, I would say that the holiday times tend to be a lonely time for some people. And I understand that anxiety levels, because of all the pressure of the holidays, rise. So since cats are so helpful to helping humans lower their stress level, and cats are really good companions, believe it or not, cats are great company for humans. So to alleviate that loneliness, maybe an anxiety, it's a great time to give a cat to yourself. Bring a cat into your home. And oh my gosh, I have another statistic I was just reading about. This is a good one. A cat purrs at a frequency that actually helps tissue regeneration in pets and humans and helps lower inflammation. Who amongst us doesn't have inflammation? Cats sit on your lap and purr and actually help our human bodies.
See, and all of us immediately run to doctors. They're loading us up with drugs that hurt us. And meanwhile, there's all these animals waiting, all these cats and kittens and shelters, and they could be doing such therapeutic, physical, wonderful things for us.
Absolutely. And I will say right now, there are literally a million cats in shelters down the street from everyone who need a home. So if humans are made better by having cats in their home, why not? It helps everybody.
Well, and your organization and what you do with Give Them 10, every day you are out there promoting the need to save these wonderful animals, Deborah. You're truly a hero to cats. And I love that you always seem to be promoting the cats and less on the kittens, because you understand the need to take the older ones, don't you?
Older ones are harder to adopt from a shelter. I will say kittens are a little easier, but you know the challenge with kittens, Jill? They come kind of at the same time of year. We call it kitten season. So the challenge with kittens is shelters, when it's summer, shelters are inundated with kittens. So that's right. When you're going to hear me talk about kittens. But it is absolutely true. If you will adopt a bonded pair or an adult cat, that is much harder for the shelter to get out the door. So yes, much more helpful to the shelter.
And what a great message to end on. Once again, great cat chat, Deborah Cribbs, and can't wait to hear and see you next month.
See you next month, Jill. Cat correspondent signing off.
And thank you all for listening to this wonderful edition of, if I do say so myself, Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.